was amazed at the wisdom of this man Solomon. And of course, where did he get that wisdom from? He got it from God. When you read in 1 Kings chapter 3, I believe, you'll see that where the Bible talks about him praying, chapter 1, I think it is, where the Bible talks about him praying to God and asking God for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. So much wisdom until there was nobody before him, and the Bible says there would be nobody after him that would have the wisdom like Solomon. No wonder she was amazed. No wonder she could say, after he had told her all of these things, answered all of her questions, she had put him to the test. She says, I heard all of this, but I didn't believe it until I saw it. And now that I've seen it, now that I've heard what you've told me and seen what you've done in my presence, the half has not been told. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, Jesus says, this evil generation, he says that the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in judgment and condemn them. How would she condemn them? How would she judge this evil generation? Well, notice again that I've said that she traveled a great distance to this man Solomon to hear his wisdom, to hear what had come from God. She traveled a great distance and was impressed, greatly impressed by what she heard. And here are these Jews, this evil generation that Jesus is talking about. They have Jesus right in their midst, right in their presence. They don't have to travel anywhere. They are right in the presence of Jesus, and they would not even believe it. In that sense, she condemned them that she would travel this far. They got Jesus right in their midst, and they would not even believe what he had to say. No wonder she said, or rather the scripture says, that a greater than Solomon is here. In essence, what Jesus was saying, that if the Queen of Sheba would travel this far and be amazed, be impressed by the wisdom of Solomon, how much more should you be impressed by me, because I am so much greater than Solomon? The Queen of Sheba, again, condemned them. Well, what about us? Could we fall under the same condemnation? Well, if we reject the easy access that we have to the Word of God, the Queen of Sheba would condemn us. We have easy access. No doubt every one of us have a Bible in our house, perhaps two or three Bibles in our house. Well, if we don't receive the Word of God, we have it right in our midst, don't receive the Word of God, we stand under condemnation just like these Jewish people did. Here's a lady again that travels a great distance to get to the presence of Solomon. We have God's word right in our midst, right in our own possession, but yet we take it lightly, yet we don't obey it the way that we should. We will stand condemned. We will stand judged by the Queen of Solomon. Well, there are some other people that might even condemn us also. Sometimes people who don't even have the truth or know the truth as we know it may also condemn us. Sometimes you know there are some folks that are more dedicated to the cause, to their cause, as they call it, the cause of Christ, than sometimes Christians are. We'll stand condemned even in their sight. Again, remember, they don't have the final say, but they, in that sense, they are condemning us, they are judging us. Who should be more committed to the cause of Christ than Christians? Because we have the truth, we believe the truth, we are obeying the truth. Who should be more committed than us? Nobody, if I could use this word, should outshine us in commitment to a cause than us. Sometimes there are people, even in the denominational world, who are more committed to their cause than some Christians are to the cross of Christ. So I say to us again tonight, don't let the Queen of Sheba condemn us. Don't let folks that don't even know Christ like we know him condemn us. What a shame it would be. Even there are people who may not have, and I'm talking now even about Christians, who may not have the wherewithal that we have that might still condemn us. Sometimes they are even more dedicated than we who have the wherewithal. What am I talking about, the wherewithal? We have, most of us have access how to get around. Sometimes there are some people that don't have access how to get around. But they'll make sure that they find a way to be involved and get around, be involved in the work of the Lord. We find a way to get and to do anything else we want to do. We can find a way to get around and get involved in the work of the Lord. Don't let anybody condemn us. We are not in it for competition, no. That's not the point that I'm driving home tonight. But I'm saying that we ought to be as committed as anybody else is to the cause of Christ. Because we're all in it together. And the more we do, the more we are committed, the more we can do for the cause of Christ. We can never do too much for the cause of Christ. The Queen of Sheba, Jesus say, would rise up with the men of that generation and condemn them. Why? Because she traveled so far to hear the wisdom of God, which was the wisdom of Solomon. She traveled so far to hear that wisdom. How far are you and I willing to travel? How much are you and I willing to do for the cause of Christ that we may not be condemned by the Queen of Sheba? And then he talks about, in verse 32 of Luke, again, he talks about the men of Nineveh. Jonah, in the New Testament Greek translation, says Jonas. And of course, Hebrew is Jonah, same man. So he talks about the experience of Jonah with the Ninevites. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And it was a large city. And of course, Jonah's message was, yet in 40 days, in 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed or overthrown. That was his message. And you know what? Of course, we know that at first, Jonah didn't do that. He went in another direction. But when God got through with him in the belly of the whale, he went in the direction that God wanted him to go. And he made this cry to the city of Nineveh. And do you not know that the men of Nineveh, or the people of Nineveh, they responded favorably. They repented of their evil ways. Look at what the Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 beginning. The Bible says there, "Arise," Nineveh chapter 3. Look at what the Bible says. "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them." And the Bible goes on and says, "For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes." Sackcloth and sitting in ashes was a sign of repentance, a sign of mourning over their evil deeds. And then the Bible goes on in the next verse, says, "And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And the Bible says in verse number 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. What did he do? He says, turn, repent. Who can tell, he says, if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. What had Jonah been preaching to these people? Yet in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be overthrown. And so the Bible says that the king got the message. And he, of course, encouraged the people to repent, to turn from their evil ways so they would not be destroyed. And the Bible says they repented. They responded favorably. And they put on the sackcloth and ashes, sat in ashes, and they mourned and they repented of their sins. They turned, they repented. And they were not destroyed because of their repentance. I want to say to us before I go even further, as we talk about mourning with sackcloth and ashes, that's a true sign of repentance in the spiritual sense. When we mourn over our sins, when we become sorry for our sins, how we have sinned against God. And true repentance only takes place when that happens. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians that sorrow, godly sorrow, worketh repentance. Godly sorrow is the thing that produces repentance in our lives. These people became sorry, or sorrowful for their sins, and they turned from their evil ways. Yes, indeed, these people of Nineveh, Jesus says, will rise up with the men of this generation and condemn them. Yes, they repented. God repented of the evil that he had proclaimed that he was going to do upon them. Jonah 3 and verse number 10 again. Why did they condemn them? Because when they heard the message, they repented. And they repented after the preaching of the prophet, just a man of God. And he was a bigoted prophet. Not only was that, but he was a sinful prophet, a foolish prophet. Why do I say that? Because when God told him to do something, he went the other way. At first, he went the other way. And then, we won't read it tonight, but if you continue to read in the book of Jonah, when God repented, if you will, of the evil of that, he didn't destroy these people. He got mad. Can you believe that? But yet these people repented. They turned from their evil ways. He had a message of damnation. And he had a sermon. He preached, if you will, that sermon to them and didn't have anything to confirm it with. But yet they believed it. And they turned from their evil ways. But then Jesus says, a greater than Jonah is here. Why was Jesus so much greater than Jonah? Well, first of all, he was a man, but he was not just a man. Jonah was a prophet, but he was just the prophet. He was a man, Jesus that is, but he was not just a man. He was the Son of God. Not only was he the Son of God, but he was a sinless person. Jonah couldn't claim sinlessness. But Jesus was a sinless person. Jesus preached a message of repentance and a message of redemption and a message that was filled with grace. And Jesus confirmed what he said by many signs and wonders. You know what John wrote about it concerning that in John chapter 20 and verse number 30 and 31. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these that are written, he said, they are written that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, rather, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus confirmed what he was preaching. And so they had all of the ample evidence right again in their midst, seeing the signs and the wonders that Jesus did, and he did them so that they might believe, but yet they wouldn't believe. The Jewish nation as a whole, they would not believe. No wonder he could say, a greater than Jonah is here. No wonder he could say, the men of Nineveh will rise up with the men of this generation and condemn them, because the Ninevites believed and they repented. The Jewish nation wouldn't believe, and therefore they wouldn't repent. So they were judged or condemned by the people of Nineveh. Well, what about us? Would the people of Nineveh condemn us? They could, and they will, if we fall in the category of these Jewish people. If we reject again the words of Jesus Christ, Jesus says in John 12 and verse 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken to you, the same will judge you in the last day. If we refuse to repent and respond to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, despite the many opportunities that we have to do so, they will condemn us or they will judge us. Well, again, when we talk about others, might even rise up and condemn us. When people who may not again be Christians, who again will be so committed to their false ways and will serve with great fervor, if we are not committed and serve with great fervor, they will condemn us. Don't let the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh and other people condemn us, because we have a greater than Solomon that's here. We have a greater than Jonah is here. And certainly we have a greater than other folks that's here in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, he will be our ultimate and our final judge. But Jesus wanted these people to know that if you don't get it right, and again, they didn't get it right as a whole, as a nation. If you don't get it right, the Queen of Sheba will rise up and judge you. The men of Nineveh will rise up and judge you. Even on another occasion, Jesus talked about some folks. And he says, if the same works had been done among you that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have long ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. That was an evil generation, an unbelieving generation in Jesus' day. Jesus was sent to them, and yet they would not receive him as a people. But thank God, those who did, they will hear him say, well done. So I say to us tonight, as a close, let's make sure that we so live our lives until we are not condemned by other folks. And if we are condemned by other folks, and it's certainly, and when I'm not talking about people bringing false accusations about us, but I'm talking about when people truly condemn us. Now, if they condemn us, and they're not the Lord, you know he's going to condemn us, because he'll have the final say. I hope this lesson tonight then has helped us along the way to so live our lives that we'll hear him say, well done, in the last day. May God help us to so live that we'll hear him say that. If you need to respond to the Lord in any way, if you need to obey the gospel, we hope and trust you'll come tonight. If you need to repent of an erring way, we hope that you'll come tonight. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is, we hope that you'll come tonight. Do that right now while we're standing, while we're singing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. turning back, no turning back.
Someone needs to come tonight. Would you come?
I still will follow, though none go with me. I still will follow, though none go with me. I still will follow, no turning back, no turning back. Mary, till I see Jesus, my cross I'll carry. Till I see Jesus, my cross I'll carry. Till I see Jesus, no turning back, no follow him.
I'm afraid that our closing hymn has been announced, 37 in our blue fold. 37. I want to thank Brother John once again for another wonderful message on this evening. Remember him and continue to keep him in prayer that God will continue to bless him, that he'll continue to claim the word of God. So don't see any new faces. Don't have any visitors called at this time or either prayer requests. So this concludes our evening worship. Let us be standing. Let us pray. Dear kind and most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, we once again approach thy throne of grace. Thank you for this another wonderful opportunity you've granted us on this evening. Allow us to come out once again that we may hear another portion of the word. We pray, Lord, that we'll take this word, Lord, and apply it in our everyday lives, that we may become that kind of Christian that you will have us to be. Lord, we pray that you bless us all this evening. Grant us with the things that we may stand in need of. As we go through this time side of life, Lord, we pray that we always be mindful of you, continue to look to you for our source of strength. We pray, Lord, as we get ready to depart from this place, but never from your presence, that you'll bless us and keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.